That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Sidework presents
Add-ons
with Brooke Van Poplin
and Andrea Wallace.
Well, hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Add-ons with Brooke and Andrea.
Yeah, guys, it's us. Oh boy, add-ons are so fun. I am really looking forward to them every single week. What kind of like deep dive are we going to do this week, Brooke?
What kind of ways are we going to blow our own minds? Well, you know, what keeps happening is I feel like the service industry has been, it's been sold to us. It's been undervalued. It's been talked down that this is like stupid person work with no history. And every time we do a deep dive on an element of the service industry, it has this like really rich, meaningful history. And it gives me pride to tell you about the uniforms you wear, the equipment you use, the tradition that maybe you've never questioned that's part of your job. And so it's been super fun to do these little add-ons.
I am 100 turning into a nerdy dad who's like, a fun fact, did you know? Like, that is me now. I like having, power is knowledge.
Power
Brooke.
Is knowledge. And I think sometimes too, when you think about that exhibit at the museum where someone's like, I would really love to tell you about the printing press. And you're like, I'm bored. I want to go see the big bombastic piece of art. And we are sort of, I'm like, maybe I should have learned about that. Like, this stuff is oddly interesting to me.
I mean, but at the same time, and I don't want to spoil future episodes, but the printing press was probably like, I'm sure that there was like a teeny one at a restaurant somewhere that was just like, I'm not handwriting this fucking menu. Like, well, we're just going to print press it.
Yeah, I know they were so sick of rewriting the chalkboard every time, you know?
Yeah, but I guess resetting if you have a rotating menu every day would be a lot. Anyway, I don't want to spoil anything for future episodes.
That's not what it's about. Today, we're talking about the work tool, the garment and tool, shall we call it, that holds you in, keeps you organized. Today on Add-ons, we're discussing the apron.
Ooh, sexy.
Yeah.
Tactical, touchy. It's the shroud that distinguishes you from your work self. It's a little bit of a severance, if you will.
I was
just
going to say, it's like, yeah, you without the apron is, what do they call it? The outside version of you? I forget. Mm-hmm. Anyways.
Mm-hmm. It's the outside version for sure. And I want to just say right now that I'd really like to see a season of Severance take place in a restaurant. I'm just going to say that right now.
I think this is possibly the third time you've voiced this on the podcast, and I stand by. No, I mean it. It's a good idea. We'll write it. We will write
Ben
it.
Ben Stiller, are you listening?
His production company, I believe, is called Red Door. I know how to get to them, Andrea.
I know how to get to them. I love it.
Okay. All right. Let's get this going. All right. An apron, as we know. Okay. How about this instead? Our sources so far, just because we are doing a lot of research and these aren't the episodes that are just opinions.
No, we need annotated bibliography on these ones.
So our source is pretty simple. Wikipedia, an entire website called aprons.com. I mean, can it get more on the nose? And a blog called Kitchen Seer. So an apron, as we know, is a garment that is worn over clothing to cover the front of the body. But the word comes from Old French, the word being napron, meaning a small piece of cloth. Ooh, maybe where napkin comes from too. However, over time, a napron became an apron, And maybe when we started using small pieces of cloth to wipe our mouths, the napkin also became the napkin.
Now, I would like to go back to just have a napkin that does, it sounds like a mashup of different things that do, one thing that does many, one thing for many things.
Yes. This is an apron for my face, or is it, or is it a napkin for your waist? We don't know. This is
also a tissue.
Yeah. Okay. So if we go back in history, as far back as basically fertility goddess time in ancient sort of Greece and Crete, basically there are early depictions of women wearing aprons, but like way fucking sexier versions. So these ancient snake goddess figurines, these statues of them depicted the Minoan women in 1600 BCE. They would wear a tight bodice with bare breasts, but an embroidered or woven apron covering the long dress.
Okay.
Which sounds like a restaurant chain that's about to open in the Midwest.
Yeah, right. New restaurant.
It's a new restaurant idea. So basically, fabric was very precious in medieval and Renaissance eras, as we know. Basically, it was a painstaking affair to weave your clothing. People did not own many garments. So it was a huge deal to protect them, keep them stain and tear free. So aprons sometimes would be anything as crude as just scraps of material tied around the waist to basically sacrifice itself for the garment's sake. And both genders wore aprons all the time. And this is still true today. So, but back then only the working class wore aprons and basically wealthy individuals, because clearly they were already the fast fashion of medieval times. They would never dream of performing a task that could sully or soil their clothing.
Cool. So it's just sabots and aprons is what, you know, sabots. What we're coming down.
Absolutely. And for me, it's just, it is so mind-blowing how much basically the era of innovation and industry has just made something like fast fashion capable, when it's like you had your two dresses, you know? I used to read the Little House on the Prairie books, and it was a huge fucking deal to get a new garment made. And I can't help but get a little romantic, you know, for an apron, a long flowing, like a dress with an apron over it era.
Because you say romantic, I say horny. But I just think, you know, that's just like, I feel like you've got like your work clothes, your everyday clothes, and then you have like your one other dress that you're probably going to get married in. You're probably going to get buried in, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Clothing was, it was an absolute luxury other than the garment you wore to cover yourself. So, you know, and I'm just picturing like you used it as a tool for gathering. You know, you'd go out into the fields because it was not normalized for women to wear pants. So we'd be out doing farm work in dresses and petticoats, and you would have your apron on top of that too. But I'm, of course, because I'm still watching Outlander, I'm picturing the Scottish Highlander woman gathering potatoes in her apron, you know, or a pioneering frontier woman harvesting.
Yeah, you get like a Sazerac.
Wait,
she's always wiping her hands after she's with like the blood of a fallen soldier that she's trying to save.
There were medical purposes for it as well, you know. So it was basically viewed as anyone doing housework or labor wore an apron. But then washing machines came around in the early 1900s. Cheaper clothes were easier to come by. You could get multiple garments. So basically it became less common by the 1960s to wear aprons, especially in the U.S. But the practice of wearing aprons still remains very strong and is a huge, you know, part of our job in any sort of service industry. Basically, I mean, and I also picture, I can't help but picture like the cute, purposeful, like frilly, flouncy, adorable 1950s housewife apron.
For sure. Like in like a French maid kind of a situation.
Ooh, baby. Yeah. Where you're like, that is a doily and serves no purpose. Like,
for sure. But it's very attractive.
But yeah. Do you have any of those? Have you ever collected?
I have like one cute frilly apron that was a gift, but I, you know, and then I've got like a oilcloth apron.
Okay.
That it does work really, really well for big jobs. And then like a couple more. Nothing. I feel like aprons must come with purpose. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah, for sure. Brian's got like a cute one, which I end up wearing, that just says like beer and meat and
something
else. It's like a manly one.
I have a photo of you in that one. Of course, when like men wear aprons at home to grill, it's always going to say something like kiss the cook. Or, you know, you get the joke aprons that of course is always like a body of a woman in a bikini. It's mine. Maybe I fooled you. I used to actually collect my grandmother's. She let me have her vintage aprons way back when, and probably donated them and didn't hold on to them. But
I'm a huge fan of like the Japanese aprons that are kind of, they look like, and my grandmother actually kind of wore something similar. It was more like a smock, right?
Yes. And that, like, we're going to get to that.
Okay.
Always. Oh yeah. No, okay. But I'm saying like, we can all picture also like the kind of smock you would wear, as we were saying, like a Japanese style, to garden or do yard work also.
Yeah, yeah. Those I love. The crisscross. You just kind of, and it's got like the amazing fucking pockets. Anyway,
so good.
Anyway, right. Well, let's pause for a little advertisement, shall we?
We'll come
back and dive a little deeper on aprons.
And if an advertisement didn't pop up, well, then it's just us again. And we're back. Okay, so now that we understand that aprons have been around since the dawn of time, they are basically a very, very sought after, if not required, tool and garment that is part of your service industry job, whether you're a bartender, chef, cook, server, et cetera, et cetera. The only person who usually doesn't have to wear one is the host. So let's get into the types of aprons that you would find most commonly in the service industry. So first one being a bib apron, which is what I think we all picture. So
classic.
It's got the adjustable loop that sits around the neck, and then they tie around the back. If it can either be loop or tie at the back of the neck, and then they tie again at the waist level. And they're offering a lot of body coverage, basically from the upper chest to the knee. And they're very adaptable because, you know, in a pinch, you could always take the bib part down, hide it, and do just a waist type apron if you fucked up and left yours at home. Hello, that's all of us. But they're just very versatile, and they have really great pockets in the front. And you
so good.
Yeah.
I feel like this is what you're seeing, like people who are like in the kitchen wearing. But then also this is also like old timey bartenders wearing this. And then this is also a look. There's this great company called Headley and Bennett. They make the sexiest fucking bib aprons. This is like where you see like, you know, like the Tom Colicchio Steakhouse, like, you know, craft. People are wearing like this. All the servers are wearing like the sexy, stiff, like denim or leather bib aprons, you know? Yes. I like it.
It feels good when you slip one on. And like I do, you know, I'll go to a Home Goods every once in a while and see if they've got any discounted sexy bib style aprons. For, you know, for me, it's like, I think you'll see me in an apron if it's around the holidays and I have to be dressed looking nice and I'm moving gigantic casseroles or roasts. That's when you see me in an apron, hands down, because I can't mess up the nice outfit. But that's my preferred type. So for us as servers, front of house, one of the most common you will see then is, of course, is the waist apron, which we all know. Basically 2 to 3 pockets for the servers to carry their various items, whether it's pens, an order pad, your wine key. But kitchen staff can also use these aprons, but they're not as protective if you're working with food.
Yeah, yeah. They're definitely just for like holding a pad of paper and your cash for the night. And yeah, that's all you want in there. And they wrap really well around the check presenter that you always keep in your...
Such feels
in your apron, and then into that just can pop in and out of like whatever backpack that you're rocking,
or just the simple, you know, like the simple commuter who I would always see, you know, my coworkers walking in with like their starched white shirt, not always, you know, buttoned all the way up yet for the shift, but walking in as though their apron and checkbook was like a clutch, like a fashionable red carpet clutch.
Because like under the arm.
Totally. And oh God, feels all the way. Now, what is the nightmare version of the waist apron, Andrea?
I would just have to say the full length gown version of the apron, which being is the bistro apron. And we all know these, right? Bistro aprons are like, they're like, oh, they're a waist apron, but they're just basically like they go down to your feet.
They're a duster. They're the duster coat of the apron world. I've had one job where I had to do it, and ooh, baby, I do not like a bistro apron.
Yeah, they're a lot. I definitely had, and they're so big for no reason. Like, I get this is again bistro aprons, French bistro. This is the look, right? This is where they come from. I think they're definitely meant to be like more of a put together fashion statement more than anything. But the function of them, I feel like. Have you ever spilled a shitload of anything on a bistro apron wearing it?
I mean, it's just that much more visually, there's that much more apron to screw up mm-hmm. versus like something getting on, you know, and white bistro aprons. Like, what are you doing to people?
Yeah, that's a lot. Yeah, that is a whole lot. And those, when I always picture a white bistro apron, I feel like they're not quite as long as those crazy black ones that right. go like all the way down. But I do feel like the long black ones could just like get caught in a machine very easily. And then that's how you die.
You feel it. Okay. Because I'm imagining you're in the weeds and now you're walking well beyond a comfortable pace. You're borderline mm-hmm. running because you're so slammed. And I'm just feeling and hearing myself kicking the weight of that goddamn bistro ape while I'm trying to hustle. And I'm wearing what is essentially, you know, like a straitjacket.
It's a skirt. It's all it is a skirt. When you think about it, it's got the skirt in front and then like the pants in the back. That's what we should call it.
Totally. Hustling in a bistro apron is not for the lighthearted.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So transitioning to back of house again, there is another apron called the four-way.
I don't know what this is.
I can picture it, but I didn't know it had a name and I didn't know it was different from others. So they look similar to waist aprons from afar, but they have a different purpose. Four-way aprons are appropriately named this because they can be worn four different ways. They are made with layers. So that when a layer gets soiled, you flip it around, fold it a different way, put it back on, and you have a clean surface. Because as we know, chefs might be doing shit like wiping knives, like getting the edge of a pot. And they've got like four chances to keep it clean during their shift.
Very similar to a cat having nine lives. This is the longevity of your apron during any given dinner shift.
Well, and let's be real. In the kitchen, it's far more likely that, you know, you're turning in a dirty side of an apron toward yourself because you're not supposed to be public facing. Like, if you're a server and the inside of your apron is also dirty, what are you doing? You know,
right.
That's
right.
Back of house.
Oh. Those white bistro aprons that are like the in-betweens, the long bistro and then the short waist, mm-hmm. those are four ways too. Yeah, because you can like, they're white, you can flip them to the other side and then inside out on themselves too.
Yes.
That's kind of how all aprons should be. Like, I feel like bistro aprons should have pockets on either sides. I feel like just the regular waist apron should have pockets on either sides. Why don't they, Brooke?
I know. That would be innovation in that field, I'll tell you what.
Look, we heard it here first, guys. We're going to start our company.
Reversible waist aprons. Like, duh. You know, the industry's in cahoots with your manager who wants to get on your ass for having a dirty apron. I'll tell you that much. Okay, so then there's also a waterproof apron. Mm-hmm. They're what it sounds like. They're like bib style that go down to bistro length, which are also waterproof, which, hello, dishies, dish pit, dish pigs, this is your friend.
Yeah, this is definitely going to be like if anyone's taken down a pig in the back, this is probably what they're wearing. This is a real slaughterhouse look, I would say.
You're so right. It's like if you're going to get like blood chemicals or dishwater on you, mm-hmm. you want to be wearing this crazy. I'm not going to lie. They don't breathe. You're breathing a little mm-hmm. less.
And they're heavy.
Yes,
and
they are.
They look. I always remember. I can picture them like hanging on a rack, like in front of my face in the dish pit, me being like, that's a lot. But, you know, if you're not fucking soaking wet by the end of the night, I think it's worth it.
I'm also picturing someone who does autopsies wearing this kind of apron.
I keep like picturing like Walter White, you know, Walter and Jesse.
This is your meth cooking apron, okay? So you heard it here first. This is what you wear to cook meth.
Whether you're in a dish pit or a meth lab, this apron's for you.
And then another type, notable, which I think this is what Andrea mentioned beforehand. So it's called a cobbler, which is also popularized. Like Japanese have their own stylists. It's also called the cobbler. And this is the first apron that you would recognize outside of a restaurant. They're seen in healthcare and housekeeping. CNAs and medical field staff wear them, cafeterias, bakeries. And I immediately was like, hello, grocery store clerks and drugstore workers. So this is the kind that you can pop over your head. It's open on the sides. Is this what you're talking about? Or are you talking about?
Yeah, this is it. No, this got is exactly, it. Yep.
And so, and it's like
they have the crisscross in the back. Uh-huh.
Totally. Mm-hmm. So this is like a pop over your head and you're covered in the front and the back with open venting on the sides.
I kind of love this, like a vintage drugstore fucking crisscross apron. It's like fashion full, in my opinion.
And your little name tag up there.
Yes.
The whole thing. Welcome to Rite Aid. I'm broke. Absolutely. But I'm also like... Yeah, these are very much like, and again, like I am, like I said, I was picturing like someone doing yard work and like not wanting to get soil all over themselves. Like one of these adorable little cobbler aprons with their big sun hat and some gardening gloves. Ooh, sign me up for my retirement.
I know. Or just seeing like, I don't know, it'd be fun to have like a cute like little like barista, you know, coffee shop where like this was the apron of choice, you know.
See, yeah, now that kind of apron makes so much sense for a barista.
Because you
have so much... like grounds and coffee and stuff coming at the upper half of your body at all times. And then obviously Andrea shouted out like the special occasion, high society sort of like designer denim aprons.
Right.
Where, okay, so what she was talking about, like they could be made out of like a really, really tough canvas or a denim, which typically these are considered woodworking aprons because it's harder to like stab through the material.
Totally. Absolutely. But it's like totally the look. You know, I think we talked about when like Brandy Barber was on, they had like really fancy aprons like that. But it also can add like a lot of weight to your person throughout the day. And you're just like already having to wear like long denim or long pants and then like a long sleeve shirt and then having to wear like a super heavy denim apron on top of it can really be trying on one through a super probably hot, sweaty dinner shift.
Oh, dude. Yeah. Well, that being said, I had my job at James. Mm-hmm. Aprons not allowed. And I hated it. Like I loved how cute I looked, right? Without my outfit being ruined by a damn little apron. But then you're like, oops, I forgot to wear my dress with pockets. And my whole shift is me carrying things around that I don't want to carry around because you need your hands. That's what the apron is for. Apron is extra set of hands.
Totally. Absolutely. It's just for you to, it's your purse. It's total function for you to have so many things on your person. Where else do you put your wine key? Where else do you put your pens? Where would you keep like your cash for the night since you guys didn't? Like, did everybody just have their own station where they would just kind of like hang?
Yeah, that's a great question. If I'm remembering correctly, the bartender handled cash transactions and was able to keep track of like if we got a big, like we would be able to then take the tip. And then, yes, you would like be shoving it in your little cubby or like a pocket or whatever. But it was just like, and I love the owner of the restaurant, but she was particular. It was an experience. Everything was so precious. But yeah, you're wearing your jeans, which were my usual like nice jeans for going out also. And you've got like pen stains. Well, we had to wear really dark denim. That was the rule.
Right.
Denim only. But in your back pockets, you've got your wine key. You've got your bottle opener. You've got your tiny little notepads. You've got all your stuff. I think her thought was our restaurant is so little that you can just make 1,000 extra trips. Fuck you.
I just think it would have been, I think James would have been just as sexy with like just investing in some really cute, nice aprons and everybody just wears blacks under that, you know?
Yeah, I know. For our brunch shift, she allowed it because brunch is chaos.
Yeah, dude, for
sure. Thank God.
Thank God. there are still like a few places where like people kind of wear whatever they want. I feel like depending on like bar you're in, and bartenders aren't really wearing aprons anyway, let's face it, because everything they need is right there. But like, even as servers, I feel like, I don't know, it's hard. Yeah. Aprons are fucking great though. I love aprons. You know what we haven't talked about is that like weird fitted, like tuxedo vest, like long apron. It's a very 80s look. It's very
like a casino.
Yes.
Okay.
Kind of, it's kind of like a mashup. And I swear to God, it's like only women. I swear in the 80s and 70s, they were like, just hug the tits. You know what I mean? Because we want kind of like a low cut stitch and we want it to V down. So it's like a bib, but it like V's down and then fits like a bodice and then is long like an apron. I know it's a very specific like, but it exists. And I don't think it exists anymore because like, fuck all that noise. I'm going to actually show you.
Custom made.
Yeah, something as such.
Oh, well, you know what? You know what? It looks like a halter dress that you're wearing your man outfit.
It looks like a little mini dress. Yeah, and you just wear it right over there, which is also very, very strange. Yeah, here's another. That's all it really is. It is like basically a little mini dress.
It's a little mini dress to feminize you, you know, because they make women dress in menswear for this job. I will say, I will shout out Chef Nikki, who we follow and she follows us too. She designed an entire line of feminine fitted chefs, like your chef whites and blacks, and they fit really well and are not super oversized, where you can be drowning as a smaller figure, petite, you know, female. Everything is built and tailored for a man, and she's got a great new line that makes you look great, feel confident, and you're not dragging around a bistro apron's worth of extra material while you're trying to make, you know, your mirepoix.
That is another thing. All aprons are one size fits all, so this is a good way to change it. So
yes.
Well, God damn it, Brooke. Look at us. We learned so much once again on add-ons. I hope you guys feel like you're learning too. Please, if you haven't already, go rate, review, talk about add-ons. Let us know what you think. If you have any fun topics, throw them our way.
Yeah,
that's about it, huh?
And can I add one last point that even though you and I are not currently wearing, you know, are not currently wearing aprons for a service industry job, I think we both have fully graduated into fanny pack territory.
I fully am a fanny pack person, and I would wear a fanny pack on the floor. Just saying.
May the force be with all of us that it normalizes. Normalize fanny packs on the floor, baby.
Normalize it, baby. All right, guys, we will see you next week on Add-ons.
A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.